Chapter 8. Joe didn't see Nikki on Monday night, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday. The commission he had thought was going swimmingly was suddenly not, and Joe had spent every waking moment and a few more besides trying to fix it. By Friday, he couldn't take any more. He'd asked Nikki to come over and had pounced on him the moment he stepped through the door, desperate to get out of his head. Now Joe sat on the edge of his bed with his head in his hands and tried to forget about Nikki lying just behind him, naked and waiting patiently for Joe to work through his thoughts. He didn't need sex. He needed his paint to work with him instead of against him. He needed art that didn't fight back. Oh. He got up, opened his wardrobe, and started rooting through the box he kept in there. "Have you figured it out?" Nikki asked. "Yes, I just need to check that I still..." "Aha!" His fingers closed around a dark bottle at the very bottom of the box. Hopefully the contents hadn't dried up. It had been a while since he'd done this. There seemed to be plenty sloshing around in there. He held it up to show Nikki. "Body paint." Whatever Nikki had thought Joe was looking for, it apparently hadn't been that, judging by the expression on his face. "The horrible chocolate kind?" "Ew, no. Proper body paint, for aesthetic purposes, not licking." "Oh, is that okay?" "Yeah." He held out his hand and gestured for Joe to give him the bottle. Joe passed it to him and pulled out some brushes and put the box away while Nikki studied the bottle. "Did you want to paint me, or am I painting you?" Nikki asked as Joe came and sat back on the bed. "I'm not much of an artist, but I could probably manage a few squiggles. Or, if you don't mind what I actually draw, I could do a flowchart. I'm good at flowcharts." Joe laughed. "I was thinking about painting you, but I certainly don't mind you painting me. We can take it in turns, and you can paint whatever you like." Nikki hummed thoughtfully. "Do you want me on my front?" "Please." Nikki turned over and settled himself comfortably, with his arms pillowing his head. Joe felt the familiar buzz of excitement and trepidation that came with being confronted with a blank canvas, followed by the also familiar brief, curdling panic in the pit of his stomach when the canvas remained blank. Then he dipped his brush in his paint and swept a dark line across Nikki's shoulder blade, and the feeling vanished. There was no pressure here, no expectation, no progress to be made or not made, no grand plan that refused to come out of his head the way he wanted it to. No plan at all. Just Joe and his brush and Nikki's skin. Joe had no idea what he was painting, just let his brush feel its way until something presented itself. The lines he'd done so far were snake-like? Maybe. Or branches. Yeah, they could be branches. Maybe he was painting a tree. He drew a line down one side of Nikki's spine, and then another line on the other side to form a trunk. He only had one color to work with, so he kept the lines simple and clean, stark black, sharp against Nikki's skin, a tree in winter. Maybe he could get some more paint and do spring next time. "Sorry, this is probably less fun than what you expected when you came over." "Yes, a beautiful naked man sitting on me, stroking my skin. How dull," Nikki said deadpan. "This is good. I like the feel of the brush and the paint. It's relaxing." "Yeah?" "Stop worrying so much. Just paint me." Nikki's back moved gently with every breath he took, and Joe moved with it, his living canvas, guiding his brush around and along the dips and curves of his spine, his shoulder blades, his ribs. Joe had to shuffle down a little to paint the roots, sitting astride Nikki's thighs as he curved the lines over his hips and down his backside. The muscle quivered, and Nikki laughed into the pillow. "I didn't know you were ticklish there." "Neither did I. No one's ever painted my ass before." "No need. It's already a work of art." Nikki gave another laugh, still muffled by the pillow, and Joe had to wait for his shoulders to stop shaking before he could continue. Joe followed the lines down onto Nikki's thighs, where the roots turned into curves and swirls, which then became something almost calligraphic. He switched to a finer brush as the lines became more intricate. It wasn't quite lettering. Joe didn't want to do words right now, but the shapes were similar enough to give the impression of words. The feel of them was there, even if they would be nothing but squiggles to anyone else. Joe knew what they meant. He carried on, right down to Nikki's ankles, curling the last stroke round the ankle bone with a flourish. Then he returned to the top of his back. The tips of the tallest branches of the tree stretched up into Nikki's hair, and Joe pulled the outermost branches out further to trail across his shoulders, where they morphed into birds, flocking over his biceps and down his forearms. Nikki removed his hands from under his head so Joe had room to work, and gave him a sleepy smile. "Still with me?" "Yes, enjoying myself." "Good. I'm nearly done now."
"Already?"
"I'm kind of running out of space here," Joe said, dabbing one last silhouette onto Nikki's wrist. "In fact, I think I'm done." Nikki groaned and stretched, making the image in his back ripple.
"You're going to make me move?"
"You don't have to. You can stay here and sleep or something."
"No, I want to paint you."
He looked over his shoulder, trying to see his back. "What have you painted?" "If you don't want me to see, that's okay." "Hold on." Joe got his phone and took a few pictures for posterity, a wide shot of Nikki's whole body, then closer views of his back and arms and legs. He felt pretty proud of his work, which was a dramatic improvement on the whole of the rest of this week. Maybe he should ditch working on canvas and just paint on Nikki from now on. Might be hard to sell, though. "Here," he said, holding the phone out to Nikki.
"Oh," Nikki said softly, taking the phone. "Joe, you've made me beautiful."
"Don't be silly," Joe said, nudging him. "You were already beautiful." Nikki shrugged.
"Perhaps. I wouldn't know. I don't often see myself from this angle. Can I sit up?"
He pressed a careful finger to the paint on Nikki's thigh. "Yes, it's dry." Nikki twisted round and sat up, settling in next to Joe so they were pressed together shoulder to hip, their knees touching.
"I love it," Nikki said, still engrossed in the phone, tilting his head this way and that to examine the images from different angles. "It's a shame I can't keep it."
"I'll send you the pictures. Maybe you could get it tattooed." Nikki snorted. Joe had to agree. It was hard to imagine anyone less likely to be covered in tattoos. Maybe that was why Joe suddenly found the idea incredibly appealing.
"Is that Arabic? What does it say?"
"Nothing. It looks like Arabic, but it's not. I was just making shapes."
"I see. And here I was, hoping you were adorning me with poetry."
"I had no idea you were such a romantic," Joe said, leaning in to kiss him. "Next time we do this, I'll cover you in the complete works of Abu Nawas."
"I'll look forward to it." Nikki kissed him once more, then nudged at his shoulder. "Lie down, it's my turn."
Joe did as he was told, letting out a happy sigh when Nikki straddled his lower back.
"Okay," Nikki said.
"Very okay.
I can't do poetry, trees, or whatever you were doing to me," Nikki warned.
"Yes, you said. Flowcharts, wasn't it?"
Maybe.
Joe floated for a while, drifting on the gentle sweep of the brush, the cool glide of the paint, the warmth of Nikki's hands, and the weight of him pressing Joe against the sheets. When he blinked out of his fugue state, he noticed that the lines Nikki was painting seemed to have changed from the wiggles and whorls he had started with. There seemed to be a lot of straight lines and circles. "What are you drawing?" he asked, craning his neck round. He couldn't, of course, see his back, but he caught a glimpse of it in the wardrobe mirror.
"Are those stick men?"
"Yes, they're fighting with swords."
"Swords, huh?"
"It was going to be pistols, but I don't know how to draw pistols. It's pretty easy to draw a sword for a stick man. It's just another stick."
"What are they fighting about?" the last round of goat's cheese in the supermarket.
Goat's cheese, really? A worthy cause. I can't believe all this time I've been sleeping with a man who thinks goat's cheese is worth dying for.
Dying for? No. Killing for? Yes.
Joe laughed.
And you call me ridiculous.
I do, Nikki agreed.
Perhaps they're lovers, Joe suggested. Your stick men, I mean.
And they're fighting to the death? That's depressing.
Hey, you're the one drawing them fighting to the death. I was thinking like a duel or something.
No, Nikki said, prodding at something near Joe's hip. This one's definitely dead.
Perhaps they're not lovers yet.
Ah, they're working out their sexual tension through their blades.
That is the worst pun I've ever heard. You should put it on a mug.
Nikki kept working for a while longer before swearing quietly and scrubbing something at the top of Joe's ass.
What's up?
I messed up the last picture. Anyway, I'm done.
Joe fumbled for the phone, which was still on the pillow, and passed it to Nikki.
Picture, please. I want to see your masterpiece.
Nikki made a disparaging noise, but dutifully took the requested pictures and handed the phone back to Joe. Joe sat up and snuggled into Nikki so they could look at them together.
Joe was impressed. For someone who claimed he couldn't draw, Nikki Stickman had surprisingly expressive faces. He could see the point where Nikki had decided to switch from drawing them as enemies to drawing them as lovers. One image showed a stick man with the tip of his sword under the other's chin. A classic move, he said approvingly. He tapped at the picture that had gone wrong, two stick men entwined on the ground.
What happened here? It looks fine to me.
It's surprisingly hard to draw stick men having sex. I scribbled them out and turned them into the ground, then drew them again above.
Joe laughed and butted his head gently against Nikki's shoulder.
Again, I have to question why I'm supposedly the ridiculous one here.
Brave words for a man sitting so close to the edge of the bed, Nikki said, with a nudge that wasn't nearly hard enough to knock Joe to the floor.
What happened to the dead one?
You said one was definitely dead.
I resurrected him.
Immortal stick men. Nice. So they can go on fighting and fucking indefinitely.
That sounds exhausting.
Joe laughed and switched the phone off, tossing it away from him.
Thank you for doing this. This week has been pretty rough.
I'm glad I could help.
They could stay like this and not have sex, and that would be fine.
More than fine.
They could cuddle and then doze off and then talk.
But Nikki's hair was tickling his forehead, his breath warm on his cheek. Joe could see the lines of paint on his arms begging him to follow them up to his shoulders.
Nikki looked good with Joe's art on him.
Joe was suddenly very aware of his cock, which wasn't hard at all, but could very easily be persuaded to become so.
"Stay for dinner?" he blurted.
Nikki pulled away slightly, his eyes flickering over Joe's face.
"I would love to," he said very softly, very seriously.
"Okay, good," Joe said, and pulled him into a fervent kiss. All the desire Joe hadn't been able to express before, pent up and trapped by his frustration and anxiety, flooded out of him. He gripped Nikki by the shoulders, pulled him as close as he could. He couldn't get close enough. He whined against Nikki's mouth and twisted his fingers in his hair.
"Joe," Nikki said breathless.
They were both breathing hard.
"Joe, are you all right?"
"I'm fantastic," Joe said, kissing him again.
"I'm serious."
Nikki pulled away, holding Joe by the shoulders.
"This doesn't have to be...
We don't have to do anything sexual. If you're not in the mood, the painting is fine."
"Nikki,"
Joe said as firmly as he could, "I appreciate your concern, but I promise you I am very much in the mood. I wasn't before, but now I am. So if it's all right with you, I would like to have you pressed against me right now."
Nikki nodded. "That's all right with me."
"Thank fuck," Joe said, pulling Nikki against him, while Nikki laughed into his mouth.
"Like this?"
Nikki murmured, pulling them down onto their sides and grinding against him.
"Yeah. Yeah, like this, Nikki. Fuck."
Their hands roamed as they rocked together, touching, pulling, stroking. Joe's cock dragged against Nikki's foreskin in a way that was simultaneously exquisite and really uncomfortable. They needed lube, but Joe was struggling to pull himself away long enough to get it. He would happily endure any discomfort if it meant Nikki would keep curling his tongue into Joe's mouth like that.
Joe, we need... I know, I know.
He pulled away from Nikki's mouth and twisted round, their legs still entangled, as he felt blindly around in his bedside drawer. He slicked the lube on liberally, not really caring where it went, as long as it got where it was needed. They both groaned as their jerky rutting turned into a smooth glide. Nikki had one hand on the back of Joe's neck, the other on his ass, both gripping hard as he devoured Joe's mouth. Nikki had never kissed him quite like this. It was always good, but it had never felt so much like a promise. Nikki had been holding something back, he realized, all this time. It took some time. It always did, like this. They could have sped things up with hands or mouths, but Joe didn't want to, and Nikki made no move to either. Instead, they savored it, the release that Joe had been so desperate for now merely a potential endpoint on a slow ramble, rather than a destination to be reached as quickly and efficiently as possible. They basked in each other, in each touch and each moan, in the slow-building pressure. Their foreheads pressed together as they moved against each other, breathing into each other. Something welled up from Joe's chest, lodging in his throat, and he almost laughed at the idea he had ever thought this was casual. God, he was such an idiot. How could this be casual? Why would he want it to be, when it could be this instead?
Joe, Nikki gasped against his lips. Joe.
His eyes fell closed and his body curved against Joe's as he shook in Joe's arms. And he was so lovely like this and all for Joe. All for Joe. He hoped. He buried his face in the crook of Nikki's neck and followed him over the edge. They stayed like that for a long time after, just holding each other. Nikki shifted as though to pull away and Joe tightened his grip. Nikki huffed against his hair and settled back down, and the something in Joe's throat pushed up into his mouth. Nikki's arms tightened minutely.
Joe?
I'm all right, Joe said, in a voice that did not back up this statement. Nikki pulled away enough to see Joe's face, and Joe fought the urge to hide. No more hiding. Nikki smiled softly and brushed Joe's cheek with his thumb.
Is this just a release after a bad week, or is it something else?
Mostly something else, I think. Joe took two deep breaths and tried to speak normally.
A good something else. These are good tears.
Okay.
Good tears are good.
I have spent most of the week feeling like I wanted to cry, so it's partly that. But mostly, I wanted to talk to you. I was going to do it on Monday, and then everything got so... His throat closed up again.
We can talk now, Nikki said, his own voice a little unsteady, too. Or later, if you prefer. We have time. Over dinner?
Yeah, Joe said. And he should probably clarify whether they were talking about the same goddamn thing, but it could wait.
Can we stay like this for a bit?
We can stay like this for as long as you like, Nikki said. But if we fall asleep again, we're going to need to go to A&E or something to get us apart. He gestured at their stomachs. Joe laughed a little wetly, and the thing in his throat retreated. Or we could just clean up, he suggested, reaching across Nikki for the wet wipes in the bedside table. He cleaned them both up, lobbed the wet wipes towards the bin, missed, and snuggled into Nikki's chest. Nikki's heart thudded steadily against Joe's cheek, and his fingers were carting carefully through the hair at the nape of his neck. Joe let himself drift in the comfort of Nikki's arms, safe and warm. He felt completely calm for the first time in days. There was still a quiet hum of nervousness and hope, far off and muffled, but it didn't bother him. This felt right. Everything about this felt like where he was supposed to be. They needed to talk, and they would talk, and maybe it wouldn't work out, but Joe was ready to try. He tipped his head back so he could look at Nikki, and found Nikki already looking at him. "Dinner?" he asked, a whole host of questions packed into that one word. "Now, are you ready? Are we doing this?" "Dinner," Nikki agreed. "I can't claim to be on my dad's level, but I should at least have..." Joe pulled the fridge door open. "Nothing. I have nothing." He closed the fridge door and dropped his head against it. "I am a functional adult, I swear, just not this week. You should see me when I have a deadline at work. Andy and Quinn have been known to bring food to my desk and then stand there watching me to make sure I eat it. I think if you're not being babysat by your boss, you're doing okay, or at least better than me." Joe lifted his head and grinned, the quick, blinding smile that gave the impression of mercurially shifting moods if you didn't look past it. Joe's bright eyes still looked tired, and anxiety still lurked in them. "Takeaway? Or we could eat out. Anything that's close or can get here quickly." "Fish and chips?" Joe suggested. Nikki nodded. "Great. The supposedly award-winning place at the end of the road is overrated. But there's another one up the other way that's really good. They do the batter nice and crispy. Come on." The evening was warm, and jackets weren't actually necessary. But as much as Nikki didn't want to wash Joe's artwork off yet, he also didn't want to walk around with it on show, either. Besides, it meant borrowing a jacket from Joe, and that sort of thing always made Joe look at him with a particular light in his eyes that Nikki couldn't get enough of. The way Joe's gaze kept lingering on the glimpses of paint showing at his wrists and on his neck didn't hurt either. They were definitely doing this body paint thing again. Nikki looked round as Joe was locking the front door, and his gaze fell on Mrs. Noakes, sitting in a chair by her living room window and reading. She glanced up, then smiled when she saw him, and waved. Nikki waved back and smiled. "She asked me to apologize to you, by the way," Joe said, waving to Mrs. Noakes, and then guiding Nikki down the path by the elbow. "She did? Why?" "She was worried she'd made you uncomfortable." "No. Well, yes, but it was our fault, not hers." "That's what I said, but I promised to pass the apology on anyway." Their knuckles brushed as they walked along the road, and it was absurd, really, how monumental it seemed. Those fingers had been inside him on multiple occasions, and yet taking them in his and holding Joe's hand suddenly seemed like climbing Everest. "Can I?" Joe said. "Yes," Nikki said. And Joe laughed and took his hand. Joe's skin was warm and soft, a little dry in places. He already knew that about Joe's hands. Sparks jumped up from their entwined fingers and danced up Nikki's arm. He knew that about Joe's hands, too. He took a slow breath. "Is this a date? Do you want this to be a date?" "Yes." "Do you?" "Very much." "Okay. Okay, good." "I want to be clear," Nikki said, his heart hammering. "I don't want to keep this casual. I don't want there to be rules about what we can and can't say to each other." "I think we've pretty much obliterated the rules at this point anyway. But yes, I would like to get to know you properly, and I would like for this to be more than casual." "Good." "I think this is already more than casual anyway," Joe said, stopping and tugging on Nikki's hand so they were face to face. "At least it is for me, and I think for you too." Nikki nodded, and the last flicker of anxiety in Joe's eyes faded away. "You should know if you don't already. I'm not really a half-measures person. That's why I wanted the rules in the first place. I always fall in too fast, too deep, and it's always a disaster. I want to try this with you, but I don't want to repeat the same old mistakes. I feel like I know you, but maybe I don't. For all I know, you talk in the cinema, or you think Piers Morgan is okay, or you scam old ladies for a living. I still don't even know what your job is.
Okay. We've done all this a bit backwards, and we're both missing some essential information. So,
I don't talk in the cinema. Nothing about Piers Morgan is okay. And I work in logistics, figuring out less environmentally damaging ways of moving stuff around.
Oh, my old job was the same, except I was figuring out more profitable ways of moving stuff around.
Okay, good. I have never, to my knowledge, scammed any old ladies.
That's reassuring.
Also, I don't really do half measures either.
Also reassuring. All right. Joe turned and tugged on Nikki's hand again, and they resumed walking.
What do you want to know about me?
Nikki thought about the bits of Joe he'd been able to piece together and where the gaps were.
You have one sister.
Yes, Farah. She's 4 years older than me.
I already know you have nephews. Do you want children of your own?
May as well get it out of the way if it's going to be a deal breaker.
Joe breathed a surprised laugh. Wow, okay. Yes, yes, I do.
Nikki nodded and kept his eyes forward. One of them had to look where they were going, and Joe's eyes were fixed on him.
Do you?
Yes, Nikki said, and Joe let out a relieved breath.
Sorry, I know it's... I just thought it was better to know now.
No, no, you're right. If we had different answers to that question, that would have been...
Yes.
Would that have been a deal breaker for you? Nikki thought about it. Joe let him think and didn't push or get impatient, and Nikki wanted to kiss him.
I'm not sure. At one time, I would have said yes, definitely. But now I'm not sure.
Joe stopped walking again.
Nikki. But we both had the same answer, so it doesn't matter, Nikki said,
concerned that he had said too much, that this was exactly what Joe had been wary of, getting in too deep before they really knew each other. He leaned forward and brushed a soft kiss against Joe's mouth.
Shall we bring the conversation back to more first date appropriate topics?
All right. They started walking again. Nikki could see the fish and chips shop up ahead. There was a queue of people outside, which was usually a good sign. What else do you want to know about me?
Did you make that purple throw on your sofa?
It was a joint effort with my friend Niall.
What's in the attic of your house?
All the bodies of my previous lovers.
Joe.
My studio.
Dance? Yoga?
Art, Joe said, laughing. Nikki had already surmised as much, but he feigned surprise anyway. Joe laughed and hit him on the arm.
Where are you from?
Oh, we really have skipped some basics, haven't we? Joe said with another laugh.
Tunis. What about you?
Genoa.
And my last name is DeGenova. Making jokes about it is a deal-breaker.
Joe closed his mouth and gave him a sheepish smile.
What's your last name?
Alcazani.
Oh, Nikki said, putting things together. Did you do that painting in your living room?
That signature, K-something, could definitely have been Alcazani.
I did.
Oh. He supposed he shouldn't be surprised. He had evidence of Joe's skill adorning his body at that very moment.
Did you like it? Joe said.
Very much.
What did you think it was?
There's no wrong answer, he added hurriedly. I'm just always curious what people see in my work.
They had arrived at the chip shop and were joining the back of the queue, so Nikki was reluctant to say, someone being sucked off.
He shared his theory about the lightning storm, to which Joe smiled and nodded, and the one about the market, to which Joe laughed.
Then he leaned in and whispered his other theory in Joe's ear. When he pulled away, Joe was smiling.
You know, not a lot of people get that.
That's what it is?
Well, that's what it is to me.
If other people see storms or crowds of people, who am I to stop them? Some people say things like two lovers, which obviously it is, but it does make me wonder exactly what they're seeing. Not really something you can ask strangers, though. Does that feature a lot in your work, then? Nikki asked, assuming that Joe didn't invite strangers into his house to look at the painting in his living room. So these strangers must be looking at other paintings. Quite a lot, yeah. I get away with some surprisingly explicit stuff because people just don't see it for what it is. Or they're seeing it, but don't want to say so. Nikki thought about the painting and the pleasure and exhilaration it conveyed. Perhaps only people who've, done that with you can see it. Joe laughed. Perhaps. He tipped his head to the side thoughtfully. I need to try and remember the people who said they could see it and see if there's an overlap. He frowned and pursed his lips. Oh, this is going to drive me nuts. They were inside the shop by this point and had to drop the conversation. They ordered, and then Joe studied the menu while the woman behind the counter began shoveling chips into cardboard trays. Beside her, the woman at the till sighed heavily. Every time, Joe, she said, every time you can't decide whether to get gravy or curry sauce, and every time you end up getting both. Sorry, Joe said with a grin. Both, please, Julie, he added to the woman who had just finished serving up their fish and chips. The woman rolled her eyes at him and went to get what he wanted. It was very obvious that neither woman was actually annoyed with him despite the size of the queue behind them, which had grown considerably since they arrived. Nikki wondered if Joe had everyone in the neighborhood wrapped around his little finger. You want anything? Joe asked Nikki. Nikki shook his head. I'm a traditionalist, he said, sprinkling his own meal liberally with salt and vinegar. Good man, the woman at the till said. You eating these now, or do you want them wrapped up? What do you think? Joe said to Nikki. Eat in the park or take them back to mine? The park, I think. Okay, wrapped up, please, Joe said. It's a few minutes' walk to the park, he added to Nikki, reaching for his wallet at the same time Nikki reached for his. Don't even think about it. I asked you to dinner. Put that away. It's best not to argue with him, love, the woman at the till said, especially not in my shop. Nikki took that as his cue to get out of the way. So is every woman over 50 around here a bit in love with you? Nikki asked when Joe joined him outside. Joe startled and tripped, then started laughing as Nikki steadied him. God, no. Really, no. He started walking in what was presumably the direction of the park, and Nikki followed, catching hold of his hand. Joe grinned at him and lifted their joined hands to press a soft, quick kiss to Nikki's knuckles. I used to work there. Before my art took off, God, I ate so many chips. I practically lived off chips. I couldn't do that now. The joys of being in your 20s, Nikki said with a smile, and a not entirely fond remembrance of his low-nutrition, high-caffeine student days. Exactly, Joe said. But they looked after me. The girls in the shop, I mean. And I definitely needed looking after. Far from home, Nikki guessed. Culture shock. Partly that, though I'd already been here a few years by the time I worked there, so it was lessened by then. Not gone, but less. But mostly, I was just an idiot. In what way? Nikki said, laughing. The Joe he knew was thoughtful and self-possessed, but it wasn't hard to imagine a younger Joe being more headstrong, jumping into things with both feet. In every way, just about, but mostly it was money and love. Nikki winced at this, and Joe shook his head with a rueful laugh. I know. Probably the two worst things to be an idiot about. The thing is, well, there's no way really to say this without sounding like an asshole, but we always had plenty of money. My parents tried to teach us not to take it for granted, and they did okay. But when you've always had money readily available, you can't really know what it's like to not have it readily available. He glanced sideways at Nikki as though gauging his reaction. I don't think that makes you sound like an asshole. Really? Joe said, wrinkling his nose. He clearly thought he sounded like an asshole. Maybe if I didn't know you, Nikki conceded. Joe nodded, pleased with his agreement.
Right. So after my dad's heart attack, things got harder. We weren't exactly starving or anything. My parents were still able to send me to university here, after all. But that stretched them to the absolute limit, when my sister's tuition hadn't even given them pause. I was absolutely terrible at managing my money, and would regularly end a shift with Julie slipping some extra chips into the free meals I got from work because she knew I hadn't eaten all day. And of course I would be crying into those chips because I'd had my heart broken yet again, usually by what Anne, she's the one who told me off for dithering tonight, by what she referred to as the bastard of the week.
Ouch.
Yeah. I eventually stopped going out with bastards, in part because I listened when Anne talked about her terrible ex-husband and started noticing the same things in the men I was going out with. But unfortunately, this did not result in getting my heart broken less, just differently.
Nikki rubbed his thumb across the back of Joe's hand. I'm sorry.
Joe gave him a rueful smile.
I mean, getting your heart broken because you were so desperate to fall in love that you read more into the relationship than was actually there is probably better than getting your heart broken because your boyfriend cheated on you. But
your heart's still broken either way.
Yeah.
They reached the park, and Joe led them to a bench overlooking a large pond, and across the pond a children's play area. It was beautiful and peaceful, the quiet only broken by an occasional shout from the playground. This wasn't how Nikki had expected to spend his Friday evening, but he wouldn't want to spend it any other way. Joe unpacked their food, passing Nikki his meal, and setting about what was clearly a well-practiced routine of unwrapping and arranging not only of the fish and chips, but of Joe's collection of sauces. There were a couple of sachets of ketchup, in addition to the pots of gravy and curry sauce, and Nikki could only hope they weren't going to be combined in some way.
"Why, what are you so desperate to fall in love?" Nikki asked.
Joe shrugged.
"Lots of reasons. A very unfortunate combination of being a natural romantic with very in-love parents who grew up gay in a place where it was illegal and was kind of lonely and living in a mostly white Christian country while being brown and Muslim.
That's quite a cocktail."
"Tell me about it," Joe said with a shake of his head and a grimace that suggested there was a lot more to talk about and also that he didn't want to talk about it.
"How long have you lived here?" Nikki asked, watching Joe flip his fish into the lid of the tray and proceeding to pour gravy on one half of his chips and curry sauce on the other.
"I'm guessing it's been a while."
"Are you going to eat that?"
Joe said, gesturing at Nikki's food. "Or are you just going to judge me?"
Nikki popped a chip in his mouth in lieu of an answer. Joe was right. They were good and still very hot. Nikki sucked in air through his teeth, trying to cool his tongue. Joe tore open a sachet of ketchup and squeezed it into the tray lid beside the fish.
"So how about you?" Joe asked.
"Me?
Why did you want to do the whole all sex, no talking thing?"
"Similar reasons, I suppose. I kept getting into terrible relationships."
Joe made a keep going gesture with his hand when Nikki didn't elaborate.
"I have a tendency to end up with people who love to talk and are not so great at listening. So we'd end up with me knowing everything about them and them not knowing me at all."
"Oh," Joe said, looking startled and for some reason worried. "And here I've basically been talking about myself since we left my house."
"What?
No, Joe, no. That's not the same.
For a start, I was the one asking you questions."
"I suppose."
"I want to know about you, Joe. I like knowing about your art. I like that I've met your parents, that I know your neighbors and they know me, that you took me to the chip shop you used to work at. I want more of that, not less. I want to know everything about you."
"Yeah?"
"Yes."
"Okay."
Joe leaned in and kissed him, gentle and warm. Nikki felt it right to his fingertips.
"Good."
"Also, you literally just asked me to talk about myself," Nikki reminded him, a little more breathless than such a brief kiss warranted.
"Trust me, you do not fit the pattern of my previous boyfriends."
"You don't know that.
Maybe I have the same problem that they did. I think the problem wasn't them so much as me, Nikki said. Don't get me wrong, they did treat me more like a therapist than a boyfriend, but I let them.
Why?
Nikki laughed. Are you my therapist now?
Nikki,
I think I was hiding. He ate a few more chips while he searched for the words. I was like you. My parents were very much in love, and I wanted the same for myself, and I believed I would find it one day. I wanted it very badly, but I was also scared of it.
Because of your dad? Joe said softly.
Yes. How did you know?
Did Andy or Quinn?
He broke off when Joe shook his head. The photos. In your apartment.
Of course.
Nikki took a moment to process the fact that while he had been looking for clues about Joe and his surroundings, Joe had been doing the same thing. It made sense, but it still made something twist in his chest. You look to be about 10 in the pictures, when your dad disappears from them, I mean.
I was 9. Car accident. He was coming home from work. It was dark and raining heavily. The car skidded and he couldn't control it, and that was that.
I'm so sorry, Joe said, taking his hand, unheeding of the grease covering both of their fingers.
Mama was devastated, just absolutely broken. She held herself together out of sheer willpower, I think, because she had to. But it had a big effect on me, seeing someone have love taken from them like that, having love taken from me like that.
Sounds like the love wasn't taken from you at all. He was, but not the love. I know that's still awful, but you know, the love remains.
It does. He looked down at their joined hands, their fingers entwined together. I didn't always think that was a good thing. I was wrong about that.
There's another man in the pictures, Joe ventured. Later on.
Your mother remarried?
Yes, Roberto. My mother has had 2 great loves in her life, not just one. I know very well that losing love is not the end, that more love can follow, but still it scares me.
That's understandable. Joe squeezed his hand in reassurance. Nikki squeezed back and took a long, slow breath.
The food will be going cold, Nikki said by way of changing the subject, and also because it was true.
Joe gave him a look. We have plenty of time in the future for deep dives into our traumatic past. Don't think I didn't notice you glossing over the whole growing up gay when it's illegal thing.
Joe laughed and nodded in acknowledgement. Fine, fine. We can come back to that later.
So you want to do this again, then? Second date?
Let's see how it goes, shall we? There's a lot hanging on whatever you're going to do with that ketchup.
Really?
Joe looked down at the food in his lap, then broke a piece off his fish and dipped it in the ketchup before putting it in his mouth. He gave Nikki a questioning look.
No worse than the rest of it, I suppose, Nikki said.
They finished off their fish and chips, quietly watching the ducks idly scudding about on the pond. It was trickier than it should have been, as they were still holding hands. But nothing short of the bench spontaneously catching fire would make Nikki let go right now. He hadn't realized how exhausting it had been keeping Joe at arm's length until he wasn't doing it anymore. They did eventually have to let go so that Joe could bundle up their empty trays and paper and throw them away. But Joe's hand was back in his as soon as he returned. Joe lifted their joined hands and ran a finger across the dark lines on Nikki's wrist, and then reached out and traced the lines on the back of his neck. Nikki shivered.
I like you, with my art on you, he said softly.
Nikki swallowed.
I like it too.
He was about to suggest they go back to Joe's house when Joe stepped away. He tugged gently at Nikki's hand, and Nikki fell into step beside him as they walked along the path.
Walk with me. Talk to me, Joe said.
Right. They were supposed to be talking, not kissing, or other things. Tell me about your father, Joe said, then hurried on in response to Nikki's look. I don't mean about the accident and everything, not the bad stuff. I mean, tell me about him. What was he like? What do you remember? You want to know about my dad? You met mine. It seems only fair I should meet yours. Nikki stopped walking because he had to kiss Joe. He had to. You're a wonderful man, Yusuf Alkezani, he said when they broke apart. Joe's eyes shone. Tell me about your dad. Nikki lost track of how many times they circled the park as they talked, first about his dad and the things he could remember, the things his mama had told him, the things he and his sisters had pieced together, then about his sisters, about sharing a room with Lucia, about the time Julia, all of 8 years old, had tried to fight three of Nikki's 12-year-old classmates because she'd heard them call him something she hadn't understood but knew wasn't good, about Sophia's terrible ex and how proud he was of how well she was doing now, about Joe's sister and the time they spent living together in California, about his nephews and the fact that most people didn't even realize they were identical because their personalities were so completely different. Joe was finishing up his retelling of his first and last disastrous attempt at surfing. It's not funny, Nikki. I thought I was going to die. When they came to a stall selling drinks and sweets. They'd passed it at least twice already, but this time Joe stopped and picked up a large bag of Skittles that he shook questioningly at Nikki. Why not? Nikki said. We can follow up our deep-fried meal with some sugar. These have real fruit in them, Joe said. It says it right there on the packet. Look. It says real fruit juice. I'm pretty sure that just means the liquid sugar from the fruit. Do you want some or not? Yes, please. They sat on a nearby bench instead of resuming their circuit of the park. Nikki held out his hand for Joe to pour some Skittles into his palm, then tossed the whole handful into his mouth. Joe stared at him. What? Is that really how you eat Skittles? Really? Nikki's mouth was still full of sticky sugar, so he just nodded. Joe stared at him for a few moments longer, then turned to look out over the kids' play area. Nikki helped himself to a few more Skittles while Joe stared into the middle distance. Really? Joe said again after a couple of minutes. Yes. Oh my God. Is it really that bad? Do you also eat Kit Kats by just biting into them without breaking off each finger? Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, well, I'm going to have to think about some things. I like you very much, but you are clearly an alien, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. That's disappointing, Joe. I thought you were more open-minded than that. I guess we really don't know each other after all. Here, eat some of these while you consider whether you want to keep seeing me after this shocking revelation, Nikki said, handing the Skittles back to Joe. Otherwise, I'm going to eat them all. Joe took the bag and tipped some sweets onto his palm, then proceeded to sort through until he found a purple one. He ate all the purple ones, then the green, then the yellow. He was on orange when he noticed Nikki watching him. What? You accuse me of being an alien and you're doing that? This is normal, Joe said. He put the last orange Skittle in his mouth and chewed defiantly. That's not normal, Joe. How would you know? You're unfamiliar with our Earth customs. I may be an alien, Nikki said as Joe started on the red Skittles, but you are definitely a serial killer. Joe gave a choked laugh at that and ate another Skittle. You weren't joking about your attic being full of bodies, were you? That was the truth. Joe laughed again, then wrapped a hand around the back of Nikki's neck and pulled him into a kiss. He tasted like sugar and sunshine, and Nikki didn't ever want to let him go. Eventually, they had to stop or things were going to progress in a manner that was inappropriate for a public park. They didn't go far, though, their foreheads resting together, Joe's fingers tangling in Nikki's hair while Nikki's hands rested on Joe's collarbone. Just so you know, Nikki said, I don't have any problems with sex on the first date. even though I'm a serial killer. Even though you're a serial killer.
That's good, Joe said, smiling. And I've thought about it, and I'm okay with you being an alien. I mean, we've been having sex all this time, and I haven't noticed a single tentacle, so
I'm glad it's not going to come between us.
So what happens now? Joe said quietly, suddenly serious, though he was still smiling.
Now we go back to your house, and you paint my front to match my back, and then you suck my cock until we both come. Then we talk about our friends and families and childhoods and work and TV shows and books and movies and whatever we feel like. And we keep doing that and see where it takes us.
I may want to negotiate the order of some of those events, but otherwise it sounds good.
Oh?
Yeah, I feel pretty strongly about sucking you first and then painting you again, and then all the rest of it, if that's okay.
Nikki leaned in and kissed Joe's smile. It's perfect.
The end.